something based on Pasuk yesterday's parasha, and it's a very interesting topic. It may not be so relevant to any one of us on a daily basis, but it's something which could come up. And that is this: we find in the parasha yesterday, we read about the conclusion of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. In yesterday's parasha, we had the Kriyas Yamsuf. So, leading up to the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Torah says, and we have it here on the sheet in Parashat Shalach, Vayomer Moshe Ha'am Al Firo, that the people came to Moshe, they were worried what's going to be. The Mitzrim have them backed up against the wall. So Moshe says, don't worry, it's Yatzfu or Uus Yeshuas Hashem. Stand by and watch the salvation of Hashem, Asher Yasa Lachem Hayom. Hashem will do for you today. Ki Asher Yisem is Mitzrayim Hayom. Because that you see Mitzrayim today, lo sosifu l'rosam od ad olam. You will not see them ever again. You will not see them ever again. Now, simply stated, this pasuk could just be taken to mean that this is Moshe telling them that you see the Mitzrayim now, but they're about to be killed and you will not see them again. But nevertheless, we have this idea in the pasuk that you will not see them again. We have another pasuk in Sefer Devarim and Parsha Shochim. We have another pasuk which perhaps clarifies the first pasuk, and that is when the Torah commands the mitzvah of establishing a Jewish king. So the Torah says, "Rak lo yarbo lo susim," that this king should not have many horses. "Lo yoshev es ha'om mitzrayma l'man harbo sus." And he should not lead the people back to Mitzrayim in order to increase the number of horses. Apparently that was the place where one was able to obtain horses. V'Hashem Omar Lachem, and Hashem said to you, Lo sosifun washuv baderech hazeh. Hashem has told you already that you should not ever go back to this place. So apparently it would seem that this is somewhat of a clarification of the first pasuk, which is that when the Jews were told before the Kriyas Yamsuf that you're not going to see them again, it doesn't just mean that you won't see these people again, but rather it means that you should never go back there. You should never go back to Mitzrayim again. And this is what the pasuk is saying, that Hashem has told you that you should never go back to the derech of Mitzrayim. And the concern was that a king who's going to have many horses, if he's going to indulge in the luxury, today we would say he has a whole fleet of cars, right? That would be the modern day equivalent of it. But in those days, the concern was that if he has many horses, so then he'll go back to Mitzrayim, and the Torah has already warned us not to go back to Mitzrayim. And then we have a third pasuk, which is found in Parshas Kisavo at the end of the Tochacha, the very last pasuk. It says that Shivcha Hashem Mitzrayim Vanios, that the Torah warns the Jewish people that if they sin, so Hashem will bring them back to Mitzrayim in boats. Baderech Asher Amarti Lachem, that you will go back on the path which I have already told you, Lo Sosif Old Lirosa, that you should not ever go back to see it. And the pasuk concludes, V'smakartem Shem Lo'ivecha, you'll be sold there for your enemies, La'avotem U'shvachot Ve'ein Kone, you'll be put up for sale, Ve'ein Kone. But the pasuk says that the Klal Yisrael is warned that Hashem will take you back to Mitzrayim, but Derech Asher Amarti Lecha, in the way that I, Hashem, have told you, will so suppose also that you should not go back to see it. These are three psukim that we have in the Chumash, which indicate, the first one perhaps not as clear, but from the second and the third it becomes very apparent that as a result of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, there became a prohibition to ever go back, that you could not go back to Egypt. And sure enough, we find that the Yerushalmi, we have it here at the bottom of the page, that the Gemara Yerushalmi in Sefer Sukkah says, Tani, this is found also in other places in the Chazal, found in the Mechilta and Parashas Peshalah. Tani, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai taught the following thing, that the Gimel Makomos Huzru Yisrael Shulawashiv Eretz Mitzrayim, that in three places the Torah warned, the Klal Yisrael were warned not to go back to Mitzrayim. Shenemar Ki Asher Isem Es Mitzrayim Hayom Lo Sosif L'Rosam Ad Olam, that's actually the second pasuk. And Bashem Omer Lochem Lo Sosif in Lashu Baderach Az De'od is the third pasuk. And that's the other pasuk. In other words, the Ki Asher Isem Es Mitzrayim is the first pasuk. I'm sorry, Bashem Omer Lochem is the second pasuk. And the Shif Bashem Mitzrayim Banios is the third pasuk. So here we have it, the Gemara says in Yerushalmi that there are three places in the Torah that the Klal Yisrael were warned not to go back to Mitzrayim. And this be, yes?
How do you know that it's not talking about that door?
We'll see. So based on this, it would come out, if in fact this is going to be the halacha, it would come out that a person is not allowed, that a Jew would not be allowed, be an Isser in the Torah for a Jew to go back to Mitzrayim. Would be an Isser in the Torah for a Jew to go back in Mitzrayim, and this is the topic of today's shir, to try to get to investigate this, to see what does that mean. Does that mean that it's Usser to live there? What about if a person wanted to go there for business? What about if a person wanted to go on tour to go? There are many historical sites that are in Mitzrayim. I remember years ago, about 20 years ago, seeing an ad in one of the Jewish papers for a kosher hotel for Pesach in Mitzrayim that you could relive. You could relive the Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach itself. You'd be right there on the spot. They weren't guaranteeing what happened if you went into the Red Sea, but the fact is that they said come back. It's possible. It was possible to today. There is officially some sort of level of peace with the nation of Egypt, and I don't know how safe it is, but theoretically a Jew could go back there. So the question is this permitted or not? So we have in the Rambam, if you turn over to the second side of the sheet, the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, in the fifth parak of Hilchos Malachim, Halacha Zayin. So the Rambam says the following amazing thing. The Rambam says, the Mutar Lishlom B'chol HaOlam, that one is permitted to live anywhere in the world, Chutz Me'eretz Mitzrayim. You're not allowed to live in Egypt. Okay, but certainly a Shver Rambam, right out of the box. Right, you're allowed to live anywhere in the world, Chutz Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And then he goes ahead to detail exactly how you calculate where Eretz Mitzrayim is. So we'll skip over the next three lines. And then he says further, "Uvishloshim akomos is here at Torah Loshim Mitzrayim." Well, so Sifun Loshim Baderech Hazeh. He quotes the three tzuvim. And then at the end of that quote, he says, "Alexandria b'chlal ha'iser," that Alexandria, the city of Alexandria, the ancient city of Alexandria, is included in this Isser. So in determining exactly where Mitzrayim is, Alexandria is included in this Isser. So obviously the question that when one reads this Rambam, you know, this Rambam immediately begs the question, so how did you yourself, Rambam, live in Mitzrayim? And how did Jews live in Mitzrayim for many, many years in the Golos? Up until 50, 60 years ago, there were communities in Mitzrayim. The Gemara, in several places, discusses the great, we'll see soon, the Gemara discusses the great Jewish community that existed in Alexandria. So how is that possible? I mean, the Rambam is saying clearly that you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. And here, he doesn't say that this is limited by a certain time. The Rambam wrote his Sefer of Halacha for the generations. So therefore he's telling us clearly that you're not allowed to do it. So the question is, how is this possible? The truth is, there is a Sefer that we have from one of the Rishonim, the Sefer, we referred to it once last year, there's a certain Sefer called Kafta Vafera. The Sefer Kafta Vafera was written by one of the Talmidim of the Rosh, which is a halacha sefer which details halachas that pertain to Eretz Yisrael. It goes through the mitzvahs atzuyos baretz. And in the Sefer Kafta Vafera, and I apologize, I wasn't able to get it onto the sheet in time, but there is a remarkable thing in that sefer, and that is that this the man who wrote the sefer claims that he met the Rambam's grandson, that he met up with the Rambam's grandson, a person whose name was Reb Shmuel, and he discussed with him, how is it possible that your grandfather, you know, what's the story exactly? He writes here in the sefer that you can't do it, and he himself lived there. So this man, Reb Shmuel, the grandson of the Rambam, reports, and if you want to look it up, you can find this in the Sefer Kaftar Aferach, it's still in print, the end of the fifth parak. He writes there that he says, I'll tell you, my grandfather, every time he corresponded with someone, every time he wrote a letter to someone, when he signed his name in the following way. He wrote, Moshe ben Maimon, Ha'over b'chol yom gimel isurim shel hator. Signed Moshe ben Maimon, who every day transgresses three prohibitions in the Torah. This is what he told him. This is how my grandfather signed off on his rights. This is an astounding thing, which can be found. I saw it with my own eyes. I just didn't see it in time to get it here. But this is in print that he writes that the Rambam said about himself that every day that he lives in Mitzrayim, he's over three Yisurim in the Torah. Now, this in itself is an appalling thing. How could it be? How could you have such a thing? The Rambam, we live by his word, and he's going ahead and being over Yisurim. So there are those who actually dispute the accuracy of this account, and there are those, a great deal has been written about this. There are people who wrote that it can't be, and they deny the accuracy of the story. But it is the Sefer Kaftar Aferach was recently reprinted, and it was reprinted with that in it. So this is what he claims. It's written by one of the Rishonim. The Kaftar Aferach is a sefer that's respected. And he says that he heard from the Rambam's grandson that this is what he did. The question is, how could that be? How could it be such a thing? If the Rambam writes in his own sefer of halacha, the Rambam writes not allowed to live there. So how could he live there? And what is it? He dismisses the whole thing by writing in letters that, well, I'm over Yisurim in the Torah. I mean, this is the Rambam who we revere. How could it be such a thing? So we have to come up with some sort of solution to this. So the truth is that there are many attempts to justify the practice of Jews living in Mitzrayim over the years of the Golas, and there are probably six or seven different approaches, but I would like to go through three of the main ones in the hope that maybe we could uncover something that would explain what went on throughout the years of the Golas. So the first attempt to teretz to this is found in the Ritva in his Chidushim to Maseches Yuma, and Avram says, the Ritva writes, the Ritva here on the fourth line from the top, the Ritva says, Umiyu, this is on the second sheet, side one, the Ritva says, Umiyu, Kmiya Nilsa, Amas Samku Ha'olam, Logar Bizman HaZeb in Mitzrayim. He says, what do people rely on? To go on a Rambam Zal, a Kamed Gedolam Acherim, how is it that Jews live there? So he brings a teretz from Rabbi Eliezer Mimit, which I prefer not to speak about, but he then proceeds to say his own teretz, which is found by the period about five lines from the bottom. He says, "V'hanochon Yosef." So he says that what I think is the most appropriate, the most accurate explanation is, "She'ein ha'isra'hu." Elof is man she Yisroel shruyin al admasim. That this iser only applies when Jews were living in Eretz Yisroel. Avot is man azeh she nigzer aleinu lios nidotim. But in our time, that has been decreed that we have to be wanderers b'chol katzpe ha'aretz in all the corners of the world. Kol chutzul aretz efadu. All of Chutz La'aretz is considered the same thing. The Ein Isser Ela Shalalates Midas Min Ha'aretz Chutz La'aretz. Says the Ritva that he says that the prohibition in the Torah Ein Achinami. The Torah says you're not supposed to go back to Mitzrayim. But he says, when does that apply? That applies when the Klal Yisrael were Shruyin Al Admasim, when the Klal Yisrael were living in their place, when they were living in Eretz Yisrael. That's when the Torah says that you can go here and not there. But once there was the Zera of Golos, which obviously the Klal Yisrael has gone through all these years. So the Gzeir of Golus made it that everything is the same. Everything is the same. Once you're in Golus, once you're wandering, so then who knows where you're going to end up. A lot of places Jews ended up through the Golus wasn't by choice. There was nowhere else to go. No one would take them in. No one would take us in different times in history. They had to end up in this country, in that country. So therefore, the Ritva says that the whole din is not Nogea. It's not relevant. In the time when Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael, then it's different. Then it would be different. Perhaps the extension that would be today would be different also. Because today we live in Eretz Yisrael. So in such a case, when we had the opportunity to live in our own land, then the Torah could say, don't go to Mitzrayim. But once behefrich, once perforce, we had to go elsewhere, so then anywhere, it's all the same. The whole world is the same. This is what the Ritva says. This would be a good parish. This is Mistaver that we could all accept, understand. It sounds like a reasonable explanation, but the fact of the matter is that it doesn't justify the Rambam, because the Rambam, if this was the case, then the Rambam, when he wrote the Halacha on the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam should have qualified the din by saying that, well, Bamedvar Mamurim, when is this true? That's when we live in Eretz Yisrael. But in the times that we're living in the Golus, the din is different. From the Lashon of the Rambam clearly says that he says outright, it's blatant, that you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim, and he doesn't say that it's at this time and not at that time. So it would be very difficult to explain the Rambam in that manner. So perhaps we could say that this would be, in other words, the Ritva could stand on his own feet, he doesn't need the Rambam, he could say it on his own, and that would explain why people in the history of the Golus lived in Mitzrayim. It could be because they held like their Ritva. But for the Rambam himself, would remain a kasha, and the Rambam in his own sefer writes that it seems quite clear that he doesn't agree with this. So to have the Rambam himself live in Mitzrayim. So that is attempt number one. That's one mahalach that exists that could justify it, but it would not explain the Rambam. Now, another issue which comes up with this is a Gemara that many people point to, which the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Nun Aleph on the base, which is on the back of the second sheet. And this Gemara in Sukkah is actually a thorn in the side of many approaches to the Rambam, and it would start already with this approach, and that is this. The Gemara says towards the end of Masechta Sukkah, the Gemara says, we'll start from the top line. The Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Misha lo ra diyublustun shel Alexandria shel Mitzrayim, lo ra bechvodun shel Yisrael. The Gemara says that anybody who did not see the great metropolis of Alexandria, Shel Mitzrayim, never saw the glory of the Klal Yisrael. Apparently, they had a structure there with an incredible building. The Gemara continues to say, Basiliki Gedola Isa, the word that we have today, Basilika, that is in the Gemara here, right, that it was a remarkable structure, and the Gemara proceeds to describe exactly how this was a shul or whatever, a tremendous binyan that they had in Mitzrayim in Alexandria. And the Gemara says that it was able to hold an extraordinary amount of people, and in the process, the Gemara explains that there were so many people there in the shul that it was impossible to hear the chazan, because they had thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were able to, so that almost like we would have today, like the arenas that you have with the thousands of seats, and they didn't have microphones. And so when there was no way to transmit the sound. So when the chazan would daven, it says here later in the Gemara, it says that when they got up to Amen, they had to wave flags in order that people should answer Amen. Because there was no way, if you were sitting, in the cheap seats, so then you couldn't hear when they got up to Kaddish or they got up to Kedusha, you didn't know where they were up to. So therefore, it says in the Gemara that they would wave flags in order that people should be able to answer Amen. And this is, the Gemara, many, many incredible details are given here in the Gemara about how magnificent this structure was and how magnificent the whole community of Alexandria Shamatayim was. But then the Gemara concludes and says the following, with a very, very sad ending to the story. The Gemara says about halfway down in this quote, towards the end of the line, says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, V'kulu Katlinu Alexandrus. All of these thousands of people that lived in the great Jewish community of Alexandria, their end was a very, very sad ending, a very disastrous ending, that they were all killed out. They were all killed. My time up. Why were they killed? My time in Anshush, the Gemara says, it was a tremendous downfall that the entire Jewish community of Alexandria was wiped out. Now, I just want to point out here something which is actually important, and that is important to the Shir, and that is that the Gemara, in the text of the Gemara that we have, it says Alexandrus Mokton, that they were all killed by Alexander of Macedonia, the person who we would call Alexander the Great. However, from a historical standpoint, it does not seem that that could be possible for a number of reasons. And in fact, on the side of the Gemara in Nagal Sagra, on the notes of the Gra on the right hand side, he changes it and he says on the very bottom line of Nagal Sagra, he says you should not have the Girsa Alexandrus Mokhtam, but rather we should have the Girsa Trachinus. Yeah. Trachinus is held to be the Roman Emperor Trajan. That the Roman Emperor Trajan, who ruled in the second century of the Common Era, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which is a key point, it was after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, so he was the one that destroyed this community. And in fact, this change that the Gra makes in the Girsa of the Gemara, if one looks in the Yerushalmi in Sukkah, where the story is said over almost identically, the Gemara says there, Mefurish, Trachinus, it says what does not say Alexander the Great. So based on this, almost everybody unanimously holds that the Girsa of the Gemara has to be changed, and that they were killed by Trajan. So why were they killed, going back to the Gemara, why were these people killed? Mishum da'avriya ha'ikra, because they transgressed the pasuk lo sosifun loshuv baderach hazeh od, because the Torah says that you should not go back to Mitzrayim. V'inu hadar asu, and they went back to live in Mitzrayim. So the Gemara here, a remarkable thing. The Gemara says that there was a great Jewish community that lived in Alexandria that met a terrible end. Because even though it was a great community, it flourished, they had incredible buildings and an enormous shul, perhaps the largest shul in the history of the Klal Yisrael, the way the Gemara describes it over here. I mean, it could hold tens of thousands of people. And yet, they were all wiped out. The end was that this community was destroyed. And the Gemara is looking for a reason. Why should such a great community, such a glorious Jewish community, be destroyed? The explanation is given because of the fact that they violated the Isra of going back to Mitzrayim. Now, this in itself requires an explanation, because to say, even if that's so, that they violated the Isra in the Torah, but why would you get such an end? The many Isurim in the Torah, the worst the person would get would be Malkus, and the Rambam himself, we'll soon see, says about this Isra that you don't even get Malkus. So why should it be that for violating such an Isra you get such a punishment? So this is discussed by the Achronim. But nonetheless, this is what the Gemara says. This is what the Gemara says, that this is why they met such a tragic end. So the question that comes out of this Gemara is that in the bigger picture, the Ritva said that once Golus was decreed upon the Jewish people, you could live anywhere. Once we went into the Golus, the whole Isra in the Torah only applies when Jews live in Eretz Yisrael. But when we live in the Golus, then the Pasuk doesn't apply. So when did this happen? This happened when already after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So this was already in the time of Golus. And if it was in the time of Golus, why should it be such a terrible end should come to such people? That according to the Ritva, it was mutter to live there. So this is a very big kasha. This is a very big kasha. The Ritva does not address this kasha. But nevertheless, Based on this Gemara, it would be difficult to accept. It would be difficult to understand that which the Ritva said. So we're still looking for an explanation. As I mentioned previously, the other kasha would be, so now we have two reasons why we could not accept the Ritva's explanation. Number one, it doesn't fit into the Rambam, because the Rambam says it applies in all time, or at least it sounds that way from the Rambam. And number two is that it doesn't fit with this Gemara that we have in Sukkah. A second approach to explain the how it would be possible for people to live in the shrine is given by Rabbeinu Bechai in a commentary to the Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim. And then we have here on the second sheet, the first side. And Rabbeinu Bechai says the following. When the Torah says, well, so Sifun washu badera hazeo, that you should never go back to this place, Rabbeinu Bechai comes down and says an astounding thing. He says, Zu mitzvah l'shah, that this mitzvah was only a mitzvah for that time. And this mitzvah was not meant to be a mitzvah for all the generations. Why? Kidei shelo yilmedu yisro ma'aseihem. Because the whole point, why couldn't Jews go back to Mitzrayim? What's the reason in the Torah that Jews can't go back to Mitzrayim? So it's not just because of the fact that we would think, well, it's because after what they did to us in Mitzrayim, after they treated us so horribly for all those years, so we're not allowed to go back. So the Rabbeinu Bechai says that it's not quite that, but it's rather because Mitzrayim in itself was a terrible culture. The culture of Mitzrayim was so against the values that we hold that they were involved, he says, with Ishayu. Mitzrayim nodim u'mufursamim b'chol toeva. The Mitzrayim were known to be involved in all types of abominations. Kinyan shekos of kamaisa eretz Mitzrayim losasun. We have in the Torah, when the Torah begins to speak about the parsha of Arayos, so the Torah starts off by saying, kamaisa eretz Mitzrayim losasun. Don't do what they did in Mitzrayim. Don't do what they did in Mitzrayim. Even though you were there in Mitzrayim all the years, you saw firsthand what went on. Don't do what they did there. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, "Ve'ein a mitzvah l'doros she'aser akos v'adir b'Mitzrayim lo'olam." He says that this was not an iser that would be for all the generations. How do you know? So he explains, "Vahare anu ro'en kama kihilos doros sham me'oz v'arayom." Says Rabbeinu Bechai, because look, you see that there were many generations that lived there. The ilu haya mitzvah l'doros lo haya yisrael kedoshim mekilin b'zeh wadashon. Says the Ritva, if this would be an iser for all the generations, then how could Jews have lived there? How could Jews have been makel in such a thing? The ilu also came, and even had some people chosen to do so. Haya hakachomim shebechol dar v'dar mochen b'yadam. People, where were the Chachamim? In other words, even if you'll tell me, maybe the people who went to live in Mitzrayim were ignorant. But how come they were never called out? How come the Chachamim over all the generations never made a machlah? They never said, you know, what's going on? The Torah says you're not allowed to live there. What are you guys doing there? Says Rabbeinu Bechai, all this points to the fact that the Isser in the Torah was only Lashah. It was only referring to those Mitzrayim. It was referring to the people who the Jews encountered in Mitzrayim. Those people were the ones that you're not allowed to be with. But it doesn't apply anymore. It does not apply anymore. And on this basis, it would be mutter. A similar but not quite the same approach is found in the Sefer Mayim Chayim, which is on the second side of the second sheet, where he also discusses the question of how Jews are allowed to live there. And about halfway down in the print, he says, I would like to add another point. Which we'll see in a minute, that based on another statement in the Rambam, that the Mitzrayim of today are not the Mitzrayim of old. The Egyptians who are now found in Mitzrayim, these are different people. that based on this, there would be no prohibition to live now in the shrine, and he proceeds to say, because the Torah only prohibited living with the Mitzrim in Mitzrayim. In other words, the issur of living in Mitzrayim is not on the physical area. It's not that there's something about this land that says you're not allowed to live there, but it rather is because of the people that live there. So if it's because of the people that live there, says the Mayan Chaim, a similar idea, that we don't have them there anymore. And since we don't have them there anymore, this would not be a problem. And what does he base this on? He bases this on a Rambam, a very important Rambam that we have, which is on the previous slide. In the Rambam, in the Hilchos Yisurei Bia, in Perek Yudei, says a very, very important halacha, which is, as I say, we'll see in a minute, is relevant to other halachas as well. And the Rambam says the following. The Rambam says, Kisha'ola Sancheirev Melech Ashur, that when Sancheirev, the king of Ashur, rose to power in the world, so Sancheirev had a plan in which he treated the lands that he conquered in order to ensure that the people that he conquered, and Sancheirev was on a mission to conquer the entire civilized world, as were other people in history, and he had a plan to avoid a problem which many others encountered, because the problem would be that if you conquer a country, but how do you make sure that they don't rebel against you? You're going to go around conquering the world, so every country that you take over, sooner or later, you're going to make heavy taxes against them, and that's the whole reason why they were interested in conquering these lands, either be for their own personal gain. You're going to make taxes, so sooner or later, they're going to rebel. So Sancheirev had a tremendous plan to avert this problem. And that was that when he conquered a country, he moved the people from that country out. He evicted all the inhabitants, or many of the inhabitants, and he relocated them in different places. So when he went around conquering the world, people were relocated from one city, from one country to the next country, and by doing that, in any place, you didn't have the power to rebel comes from a feeling of, you know, this is our land, how could we stand by and let someone else rule over it? And it comes about through a spirit of achdus that everybody gets together and has that same feeling. So Sancheirev came up with a brilliant plan. Let's mix everybody up. And if you mix everybody up, so then in any place, you'll have a big, like you have here, a big melting pot. Right? You have the people from this country and that country and other country, and none of them will have the ability to rise up and rebel. This is what he did. So the Rambam says, Bilbo Kolo Umos V'Irbam Zeb Zeb. He integrated all the various nationalities, V'Higlo Sonim Koma, and he sent them into exile. Says the Rambam, the Ilu Hamitzrim Shebe'eretz Mitzrayim Atzah Anoshim Acherim Hem. Says the Rambam clearly, and based on this, the people who are today found in Mitzrayim are not the old Egyptians. They're not the old Egyptians because of the fact that who's responsible for that? Sancheirev is the one that he could thank for that. Because when he conquered Egypt, he sent everybody away. He says, V'cheinu Edomim Shebe'se Edom. So he says, behold, in the Zarvo, Arba Umos, Asur, Bechol Umos Ha'olam, Shehein Mutarim, Puter Hakol. So the Rambam says this halacha pertaining to the various nations that we're not allowed to intermarry with. Right, we have in the Torah that you're not a regular Jew is not allowed to intermarry with people from different nationalities, from a Mitzri for several generations. You have Edom, you have Ammon and Moab, different nations who a regular Jew cannot marry, even if such a person were to convert. Right, the pasuk that prohibits, for example, the famous pasuk Yavo Ammoni Moavi B'Tal Hashem, which is commonly mistaken to mean that you can't have a ger from those people. That is not so. You could absolutely have gerim from these countries, but a regular Jew can't marry them. They could only marry their own people. So the Rambam said, so what do you do today? Today, does a person have to worry that let's say a Jew went to Egypt and he found a person he was interested in marrying in Egypt, does he have to say, well, Tara says he can't do it? Or let's say he knew where Moab was, and he went back there and found someone, well, the Torah says he can't marry a Moabi. Says the Rambam, it's not an issue. Because Sancheret was Bilbo Kol Olam, because he mixed everybody up, so therefore the fact that people live in any specific location doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that these people are, these are the Moabim, these are the Mitzrim. They're not, because they all got mixed up, and as a result, the Rambam says that you're allowed to marry even people who come from such places, and even if one was to say, but how do you know, maybe some of the people were still there, after all, Sancheret didn't exile everybody, so the Rambam says, for this we could rely on the basic rule that we have in the Torah called the Parish, Neruba Parish, that you're allowed to go by the majority, that if a person were to come out of the place where they live and say, I want to marry a Jew, I want to marry this person, so then you have the right to go by the majority. And the majority of Jews, the majority of people who live in Mitzrayim are not Mitzrayim, the majority of people who live in Ammon or Moab are not Ammonim and Moabim, and therefore the Rambam says today there's no problem. If you meet a person who you're interested in marrying, a Jew, it doesn't matter where they live, you could marry them, and what the Torah says about these nationalities does not apply anymore because of Sancheret. This is what he says. Now, for the record, this halacha is also relevant. We had it yesterday in the parish also about Amalek. So there is a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. But the reason why this mitzvah is not enforced today, obviously a number of reasons, but the practical considerations also. But one reason is because of the fact, who's Amalek? Who's Amalek? Even if you trace historically the place where Amalek originally lived, but the people that live there now are not Amalekim. So even though we say that there are still Amalekim in the world, but we don't know who they are. All thanks to Sancheret. In other words, the legacy of Sancheret is that he mixed up, he was Bilbo Kol HaOlam. And because he turned over the whole world, therefore, all the nationalities that the Torah speaks about, we don't know who they are today. This is the Pesach of the Rambam. So based on this, the Mayim Chaim wants to say that this would be a reason why the prohibition to go back to Mitzrayim is not enforced. Because why did the Torah say you can't go back to Mitzrayim? Because you may come to learn from their terrible ways. To my Seretz Mitzrayim, you should not learn from. Well, that's only if you find the people who live there. But the people who are the Mitzrim in the Torah are not the people of today. And therefore he wants to say that it would be wonderful. Now again, so this is a second approach, which again would not, on the one hand, alright, it makes sense. If somebody wanted to say that in their own right and say this is the pshat, fine. But this would still not explain the Rambam himself, because the Rambam himself, again, we come back to the same problem, that the Rambam himself did not qualify the halacha. The Rambam says you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. He was talking to us. The Rambam was written in the Golos period. The Rambam was talking certainly to people with Doros. So therefore, how do you explain so why is the Rambam passing you can't go back to Mitzrayim? According to this, you should be able to go back, because the people you're going to encounter there are not the people that the Torah was concerned about. And furthermore, again, we would have the question that how do you explain Alexandria Shamitzrayim? Alexandria Shamitzrayim was after Sancheret. Sancheret was in the era of the first Beis HaMikdash. This story took place after the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash. So how do you explain the great tragedy of the Zeresh Gemara here in Sukkah that says that the tragedy occurred because of the fact that they went back to Mitzrayim? Now, the truth be told, there are those who say this Gemara is a thorn in the side of almost every approach to justify the practice of Jews in the Golos, because this story took place in the Golos. So I would acknowledge the fact that there are those who want to say that the answer to this Gemara is because they settled there at an earlier time, because the settlement of the Jews of Alexandria Shamitzrayim, they have a riot that it took place in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, that Jews went to Alexandria, and therefore it would come out that for them, that they violated all these things. In other words, it could be that they went even in the pre-Sancheret period, we could say, and the community that was there, the Gemara is talking about their destruction. The destruction took place after the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash. However, the original community was founded at an earlier time, and it could be that perhaps that would be the explanation, and that would also be an explanation according to the Ritva's chat. The Ritva who said that the Torah only prohibited living in Mitzrayim when Jews were shruyin al-admasam. So again, you could answer that also by saying, well, if the biggest problem is this Gemara, in other words, for the Rambam himself, so this wouldn't help, because the Rambam is passing Zawaka even in the Golos period. But any other explanation will say, all right, so forget it. I can't explain the Rambam, but we need some heter even without the Rambam. So we have Rishonim, but all the Rishonim run into a brick wall with this Gemara. So there are those who want to say that this is the explanation that it came about at the founding of the community took place at a much earlier time. The community was there for hundreds of years, and eventually it was destroyed at the end of the time after the Churban, the second Beis Hamikdash. It could be this is so. I saw in the Shuvas Yabia Omer of Adi Yosef, would be well, who says that he has a very hard time accepting this to be true, because we have a klal in the Torah, Yumsu, that a child does not die due to the sin of a parent, and the only time that would ever happen would be if they're still holding on to the evil ways of the parents. In other words, the idea that a child cannot be punished for his parents' sin is that if he's still committing the sin himself, then he could be punished because he's holding on to the bad way. But if he went ahead and broke away from the ways of his parents, the fact that his parents did something wrong would not be a reason. This is a klal we have in the Torah, that you would not punish a later generation for the sin of an earlier generation. So says the Rav Adi Yosef that if that's true, so then this explanation would not hold. Because even if we are to assume that, even if we would accept that the people of Alexandria established their community in the time pre-Sancheirus, in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, when the people there were the real bona fide Mitzrim, but so what? But the Churban took place after the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash, at which point all of the Isurim should have gone off. Because according to the Ritva, it would be mutter because of the fact that now Klal Yisrael is not living in Eretz Yisrael anymore. According to Rabbeinu Bechaya and the Sefer Mayim Chaim, it would be acceptable because of the fact that Sancheirus mixed up the world and these aren't the Mitzrim. So then it would come out that the people who were living in Alexandria didn't do anything wrong. So why were they destroyed? They were all killed out because of something that their forefathers did that had nothing to do with them. In other words, when the earlier generation went, it was the Isser. But when these people came along, it was already the Hesser. So what would be the problem? They have no, even if you will say that the founding of the community was the Isser, but why can't we live there now? So this, he writes that he says he has a very hard time accepting that this should be the explanation for the Gemara and Sukkah. But nevertheless, I will tell you, to be honest, that this is what people say. But Lamaisa, at the end of the day, it still doesn't help for the Rambam. It still doesn't help for the Rambam. And even though the Rambam himself said that we just quoted says that Sancheirus mixed up the world, but yet the Rambam that we're focusing on, the Rambam in the Hilchos Melachim, who says that you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim, says that you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. So obviously, the other Rambam has no bearing on this. Presumably, you'll say, so why isn't there a contradiction? In the right here, he writes that they're not the Mitzrayim, and here he says you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. So apparently the answer to that is that the Rambam's opinion is that the prohibition to live in Mitzrayim is not because of the people. It's not because you're going to encounter the Mitzrayim, but rather it has something to do with the land, that this land of Egypt, you can't live there. You can't live there. In other words, Rabbeinu Bechaya is wants to go out and say that it has nothing to do with the land per se. It has nothing to do with this territory. It has to do with the people, and the people aren't there anymore. But that's a debatable point. That's a very debatable point. One could say, how do you know? The Torah says, now I have to go back to Mitzrayim. Now I have to go back to Mitzrayim. It doesn't matter who's there. So this apparently was what we would have to say the Rambam holds. Because otherwise the Rambam's contradicting himself, because here he goes now to live in Mitzrayim, and somewhere else he says that there's no problem marrying anybody from there, and no problem marrying from the other places, because Sancheirus mixed up the world. So, and he says before that the people in Mitzrayim today are not Egyptian. So how does he paskin that it's usher to live there? So l'chari, I have to say that the Rambam holds that it's usher because the physical land of Egypt is usher to live. Which leaves us back with the kasha that how is it that the Rambam himself could write this and live there? So the one answer, there are many, as I said before, there are many answers that are given, and there are none that are blocked. There are none that run smoothly. They all run into problems. But there is, in the commentary on this, if we go back to the original Rambam, on the side of the Rambam we have the commentary of the Radbaz. The Radbaz is a person who we quoted on a number of occasions, and the Radbaz is from the Gedolei Achronim, from the early Achronim in the 16th century, and the Radbaz also had the distinction of being a Rav in Egypt. As we once mentioned, when we spoke about Hashem Kedusha, the Rambam had nullified, the Rambam told people in his time they should not say Chazar Sashatz because nobody was paying attention, it was Chil Hashem, and the Radbaz reinstituted Chazar Sashatz in Egypt. Alright, so here we have another person who's going to try to explain this to us, also with a little bit of a need to do some explaining, because the Radbaz himself lived in Mitzrayim. So he brings like this. He quotes a Yerushalmi, which the Yerushalmi in Masechet Sanhedrin, which says the following thing. The Chazal, the Gemara in Yerushalmi, makes a drasha that says that you're not allowed. It makes a drasha on the pasuk that says that you should not go back to Mitzrayim. You should not go back to live in Mitzrayim. So the Yerushalmi makes a drasha that says that you're only not allowed to go back there to live. However, you are allowed to go back for yeshiva yatachozer, avalatachozer, l'schora u'l'pragmatia, u'l'kibushara. The Gemara says in Yerushalmi that a person is allowed to go back to Mitzrayim to do business. If a person, a businessman, and he has a deal in Mitzrayim, right, he's going to go buy the pyramids and rent, you know, the Jew has planned, he's going to go buy out the pyramids and set up a whole touring system for Jews to come from all over the world. The halacha is that you'd be allowed to do that. Because it says in the Gemara makes a drasha that says you're not allowed to live there, but you are allowed to go there for business. And the truth is, if you look on this sheet, in Halacha Ches of the Rambam, he says, Mutalatsu Eretz Mitzrayim Uschar Uprachmatia. V'lichbosh Arsus Acheros. That if it's in the process of conquering lands, other lands, you're allowed, if you needed to go through Mitzrayim, you're allowed to go there. So, says the Radbaz the following thing. So the Radbaz says, so why should that be? In other words, we have a Halacha, the Torah says you shouldn't go back to Mitzrayim. And now we have another drush in the Yerushalmi that says that you're only not allowed to go back there to live there, but you are allowed to go back there to do business. So says the Radbaz the following chiddush. So the Radbaz says that it seems that the Torah only prohibited what he calls lover shom ulehishtakea. That when the Torah prohibited a person from going to Mitzrayim, the prohibition was to live there for the long haul, hishtakeah, like we have in the Haggadah, right? That Vayogasham, the Chazal say that when they went down to Mitzrayim, they're only going there with the mentality that Vayor Yaakov Avinu hishtakeah to Mitzrayim. El Vayogasham, meaning that when they went down to Mitzrayim, they went down with the plan that this is a short-term proposition. They went down because of the hunger in Eretz Canaan. But it ended up that they stayed there throughout the Golos. So says the Radbaz that this, in his opinion, is what the Torah means to say. When the Torah says you're not allowed to be in Mitzrayim, yet you're allowed to go there for business, so l'chora one would say, well, if you go there for business, you're not necessarily going to go in and out in the same day, right? You're going to go there for business, especially in the old world. If a person went to do business in a country, you stayed there for weeks. It wasn't like today. You would stay there for weeks. You're going to have to find a place to live. You could be there for who knows how long.
But what about the second person who would say that you don't go 2 years to take suits?
like that.
Yes, it goes and say that you need it can go to take courses.
Good. But the what the Rabbaz is trying to say is that the Torah said the Torah doesn't specifically say that. The Torah says that Hashem Omer Lachem will succeed from Asher. In other words, that we're afraid the Melech is going to go take horses and the Melech, they're going to go settle there. That's how the Rabbaz would explain it. But the prohibition of living there is only if you're going to live there for the long haul. Based on this, says the Rabbaz an incredible thing. He says, that all the people who went to live in Egypt, that in the years of the Golas, when Jews went to Egypt, they didn't go there to say, all right, this is a great place to live. You know, like today, you move out to the suburbs, you find a nice community to live, and you say, this, we're going to settle it, we're going to establish it, we're going to build shuls. That wasn't how it started in Mitzrayim. How it started in Mitzrayim was people needed parnasa. They needed to do business. There was business available in Mitzrayim. And therefore they said, okay, so let's go to Mitzrayim. So let's go there. All of it was a short-term proposition. It ended up that because of the fact that the Golus was difficult, so they ended up, just like what happened to Yaakov Avinu, that the Yaakov and his sons came to Mitzrayim thinking they're only there to get out of the Rav in Eretz Canaan, and it ended up they stayed there for about a couple hundred years. So the fact is, says the Rabbis, that this is exactly what happened here. That the Jews who went there, it was a transient community. It was a transient community. It was a place where you went to live, and then you did your business, and you picked up and left. People ended up having communities in all these places. That's because, through the difficulties of the Golus, they had no choice. He says, the when they originally went there, they went for business. But then they stayed. In other words, in the history of the Egyptian Jewish communities, we will find that they built up communities there. We can't say not everybody in the Jewish community lived in Motel 6, right? They were all there. They built up houses, they built up communities, they built up shuls. So he says, but that, since they did not go to live there for that, with that in mind, so he says, Ein kan ela isura ba'alma. So as a result, they did not violate the Isra in the Torah. Because the Isra in the Torah was to go to settle in the shrine. That you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to go settle in the shrine. However, if you went there on a temporary basis, and it ended up that due to the difficulties of the Golus, you had to stay there, so he said that's not a violation of what the Torah was talking about. And he says it's still not the right thing. He says it's an Isur Ba'alma, but in Mipnei Torah Hatiltu Lumiyat HaRevach B'Mizomus B'Shar HaMakomos L'Choshishu L'Isur Zeh. He says that the Chachamim never called them out because in the years of the Golos it was so difficult for Jews to find a place. So therefore, once they were there, they went there with good intentions. They went there not to violate this in the Torah. But once things got to the point that they had to stay, so it was not in fact the right thing to stay there because the Torah didn't want that either. But nevertheless, since they didn't go there to Isser, so they didn't, that was never their mindset, so therefore he says it was not a real violation of the Isser in the Torah, it was just what he calls the Isser of Alma, and that, due to difficulties, people let it go. This is what he wants to say. Now, if this is true, so now we would have a breakthrough. Because if we will accept that he proceeds to say that the Rambam says in the Lashon of the Rambam, he says also his Yashev Bo, right? The Rambam says that a person is not allowed to be Yashev there, is not allowed to live there. If you look in Halacha Ches of the Rambam says clearly the ain Oser El Lishtakei Hashem, that when the Rambam justifies going there for business, the Rambam says the only Isser is to stay there what's called Lehishtakeya. So the Radvaz says that, so the Rambam himself is just contrasting that to a person who's just there for business. Says the Radvaz, you know what that means? It doesn't mean like we think a businessman who goes there for 2 weeks to do business and then flies out. What it means is a person who went there for business that they I'm going to go move to Mitzrayim. I can't make a parnasa anywhere else. I'm going to go move to Mitzrayim. As soon as things get better, I'll pick up and leave. And unfortunately, things didn't get better, so they stayed there. That's what he wants to say. That's pshat in the Rambam. If this is true, now we would have at least an angle with the Gemara of Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. Because the Gemara in Sukkah, you could say that the Gemara in Sukkah, that those people were punished because they didn't have those intentions. The people in Alexandria, especially the way the Gemara describes it, that they built up a magnificent community, they built incredible buildings, that's not the type of thing that you do when you view that you're only here for a short period of time. So therefore, it could be, the pshat is that they violated this during the Torah. In other words, they will ishtakeya. Because they will ishtakeya, they were destroyed. However, for the people in the Golas, subsequent generations in the Golas, the communities that settled in Egypt, nobody ever lived there because they said, oh, it's such a great place to live. It's such a nice place, a great place to bring up your kids, a nice, airy, open areas. Nobody had that intention. They went there because they had to go somewhere, and this is a place to make a parnasa. If this is true, so this would explain how the Rambam would pass in this halacha, and yet the people in the generations who lived in Mitzrayim would not be in violation of this halacha. And the Rambam himself, presumably, would not be in violation of this halacha. But, yet we go back to the Kaftar of Aferach, who quoted the fact that the Rambam signed his name, that he signed his name Moshe ben Maimon, who every day violates three surim in the Torah. So was he kidding? Is it inaccurate? How do we explain that? So the Radvaz says a very interesting thing. The Radvaz proceeds to say that if you go further down in this piece, I'm not going to read the whole thing. He says, "Bim Tomar Tikshil Rabbeinu Shaharei Nishtaka B'Mitzrayim." He says, "You'll ask, how did the Rambam himself stay there?" "V'yesh Lomar the Onus Hoya Al Pi Amalchus Shahayarofe Lamelech Basar." So the Radvaz, two things you see from this. The Radvaz says, even after he said his chiddush, that the Rambam means it's only osur lihishtakei, only if you're settling there for the long haul. But the Radvaz is bothered, but apparently the Rambam, for some reason, he said, Tikshu Rabbeinu, apparently the Rambam was there for the long haul. In other words, in the Rambam's plan, somehow the Radvaz is saying that he had no intention to leave. The Rambam was there, and he was there to stay. So ask the Radvaz, so even after what I said, it may justify the communities that came about in Mitzrayim over the generations, but it still doesn't explain the Rambam himself, to which the Radvaz says that the answer to the Rambam is that he had no choice. Because he was an onus, he was forced because of his abilities in the medical field, because of the fact that he was the doctor to the Sultan of Egypt. So therefore, he was the Rofe Lamela, and they forced him to stay there. Says Rav Yosef in the Tshuvas Yechavadas, that this would explain everything. Because it comes out like this. It comes out that as far as the Isser in the Torah, that's only if it was Shtakeya. The communities that existed in Egypt all the way until about 50 years ago were because of the fact that originally nobody went there. They all went there for temporary. They all went there to do business. And really, it was their responsibility to leave had things gotten better. And it could be, it's possible, that there were times where things did get better, and in fact, had people stayed there at that time, they would have been over this in the Torah, because at that point, I'll say it. But it could also be that things didn't get better for a long time, and they had no choice. But the Rambam apparently had a choice, and yet he stayed there. So says the Radvaz, for him, we have to come on to a different Torah. For him, none of the terutzim mentioned above would apply. For him, we have to say, for him personally, that he was there because the ones, because he was the doctor to the Sultan of Egypt. And this would explain, if you hold that the Girsan, the Kaftar of Aferach, is correct, so then we could say that what the Rambam meant was, he meant literally, that I am over every day, three surim in the Torah. I'm not guilty for being over the three surim in the Torah because I'm an onus, and we have a klal in the Torah that a person who does not bear under duress is not held liable for that. Onus Rachmana Kadre. But nevertheless, the Rambam was in a certain sense bemoaning his fate that, I'm not so thrilled that I'm here. I live here in Egypt, I have no prayer, they won't let me go, but the onus is that I'm over the Kal Yom, Gimli Surim Shabbat Torah. But that doesn't mean that he did that Chalila, that we said the Rambam was an Avarian. The Rambam was not transgressing the Isurim because of the fact he's not held responsible, he's not liable because of the fact that he's an Ones. But nevertheless, in the literal sense, he was over B'chol Yom in the Gimli Surim Shabbatara. This is in the Chavadas, this is what he ends up saying is his opinion. The Heter, I believe he himself lived in Egypt for a period of time. So all the Rabbanim of Egypt come out to justify the minig. It's very interesting. If you read the rest of the Radbaz, he writes that he went to Egypt to learn Torah, and then he became a Marbet Torah, and that justified his staying there. But whatever the case may be, the halacha would seem that it is mutter, but it's not mutter outright. So therefore, if the situation, hopefully Mashiach will come very soon, but if the situation would ever get to the point that things would turn a little bit politically in Egypt and they would welcome Jews to come live there, the halacha l'maisa would be that it's also to go there. That it's also to go there. Unless a person, if according to the Rambam, it's also to go there. If you weren't like Rabbeinu Bechai, it would be mutter. If you weren't like the Ritva, then it could be debatable what today the halacha would be. But if you hold like the Rambam, there's no question that it would be Aser, because all of the Heterim that existed, says the Radbaz, were only short-term, and today, unless we got very desperate over here, if a person willingly chose to live in Egypt, he would in fact be over in Israel.